Morning, church. It's a great honor to be back here. Thanks for Pastor Ben for the invitation. I'm excited to share a very cherished story in the Old Testament, in the history of Old Testament. And I call it Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. It's a very famous story. In fact, almost all Sunday school children, they probably have learned it more than once or twice or three times. So the challenge for me is that with many people who are familiar with the story, what else can you say about the story, okay? So I felt a great privilege as well as a challenge, but I'm also very excited. So I call it the good news according to the Battle of Jericho. And so before I start, I want to share that, you know, in this day and age, it's all about, there are a lot of, I don't know what about you, but, you know, my household is very into superhero movies, right? You know, I remember the Incredibles when it came out, then we waited over 10 years to get Incredibles number 2. And then we watch all the Marvel Entertainment movies, and I'm sure most of the boys are very, has been known, familiar with these characters. We have, the Hulk, the Iron Man, Hawkeye, you know, recent watch of episode, and Captain America, Thor, Spider-Man, Superman. What's interesting in this day and age about these superheroes that when you watch these movies or TV series, they are superheroes, and the kids are most excited about the actions. But one thing you cannot escape is that they are also weaknesses. For Superman, you have what? The kryptonite, right? For Spider-Man, you have all these struggles about, you know, identity, about, you know, hidden versus revealed, you know, his dark side of him. And for Iron Man, of course, he's human. You know, he's just a rich guy. And then you look at his relationship. You see that there's a lot of guilt. And there's, for superheroes, you have powerlessness. This reminds me of similar thing when the New Testament was written in the age of Rome, when there are many, what, gods from the Greek gods. They are gods, yeah, but they're similar weakness like a human being. So what does it have to do with today's passage? I think today I want to bring you this story about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. I say it's very unconventional. Even though it's all about battle, it's all about fight, but the Bible way of recording it is different. It's different in that the actions is not too much, but the action is different in that it's directed by a different, it's not showcasing the power, but showcasing something else. So that's why I want to share with you today. There are three parts of it, maybe four, but three, is that first is the commander of the Israel army. The second is the strange method of Jehovah. And lastly, I want to summarize the good news in the Battle of Jericho. So let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us this time to come back to your word and to worship you through the truth and in spirit. We ask your guidance and opening our eyes to the familiar story so that we come to see the God of the Bible, the holiness and the beautiful righteousness as well as loving kindness towards your creation, especially towards your people. Help us, and we pray that all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the Battle of Jericho. It's not a coincidence that today I'm standing here to teach the Battle of Jericho. Why? Because if you look at the Battle of Jericho, the chapter beforehand, and what happened last week was what? Passion Friday and Easter, right? New people baptized, as Pastor Ben has mentioned here. But before last week was what? The chapter 5. What happened in chapter 5? In chapter 5, the all young Israelites who grew up in a desert, the first generation of a desert, young people who were 20, less than 20 before when they were leaving Egypt, what they did was what? They got circumcised after entering the promised land. And they start eating the produce of the promised land. You know, nothing happened in this life by coincidence. Why do we have that chapter preached? The Old Testament of circumcision, and then immediately we have the Easter, about people getting baptized. And now we come to the Battle of Jericho. The context of the Battle of Jericho is this. For those who are new to Christian life, is that what do we do when we become a Christian? How do we enter a Christian life, and what is the initiation ceremony or the first battle that the young Israelites, as they enter the Promised Land, what lessons should they take home, or should they take in heart to live a Christian life? And also, it's for the older Christians too, right? As we witness many people get baptized, how did Joshua and the leaders of the Israelites train and bring the first important lesson to these young Israelites as they are entering the Promised Land, like a young Christian, like a fresh baptized Christian? So the lesson is for all. And this is a very important tune because it sets the tone of how you live a Christian life in the Promised Land. Because I'm very happy for those who get baptized in the Home of Christ Church, especially in the English congregation, because it's very rare to find such preaching chapter by chapter in a systematic way in the Chinese side. Okay, it's very rare. We did it a while back, but we have never done it. Most time it's topical. And people don't feel like we should obey the Bible in such a way that the topical, you know, spirit moves and things happen, you know, that's more important than being obedient to the Bible, following the sequence. But you see, as we obey the Bible and following the preaching, the story of Joshua, God mysteriously working his wondrous way that we brought to this chapter, not by coincidence. So let's dive into this. The first is a continuation of the story we had last time. I'm pretty sure Pastor Ben already covered this, but this is actually connected more to today's story, at the Battle of Jericho, than the story before that. First, we see that towards the end of chapter 5, as all the Israelite young people were, you know, circumcised and weak, and Joshua is getting ready to stand by and to attack the biggest obstacle entering the Promised Land, which is the city of Jericho. Let me read these verses. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. So one thing I want to emphasize in this whole encounter of the commander of the army of the Lord is that in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is very special character, because not all angels you can worship. In fact, if you worship some angels, they will say, you know, "You cannot worship me because we are not God." But in the Old Testament, some angels, when you worship, they just stand there and receive the worship of the Old Testament prophets and commanders like Joshua. So the biblical scholar has revealed to us that this angel of the Lord could be a person, not in flesh, but in a personal, in a human being, not in a human being, but in a person presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Son of God in the Old Testament. But the question here is not so much as, you know, who this angel of the Lord is. The question here is that, why did he say, "I am the commander of the army of the Lord, and now I have come"? So it tells you one of the things is that it sets the battle in the right attention, is that the battle himself, the Battle of Jericho, as being the biggest obstacle, the first real encounter with the land of Canaan, an enemy of the Israelites, is that the whole battle was purposely led by God and was in a very important way that God himself is leading the battle. Because in the very beginning, Joshua has always been like a human being, you know. When we go to some powerful figures, you know, when we worship God, say, "God, are you for us or are you against us?" And when he saw this guy, this person who drawn has a sword drawn, his attention was where do I stand before this person? But this person, this angel of the Lord said, you look at the wrong way. I'm here as the commander of the army of the Lord. In fact, this is the most important thing, which is, I call it Captain Israel, like, you know, Captain America. But when the man with his strong sword, he was focusing, he was telling Joshua, your attention is wrong, because whenever you stand before a powerful figure, especially the angel of the Lord or the creator of the heaven, the whole universe, you need to understand is that it's not so much as whether he is for you or against you. It's more important you need to think of where do you stand before him. Do you stand as obedient or do you stand as you-centered? So that's why Joshua, as a very godly person following Moses for a long time, he immediately bowed to worship. He immediately fell down because he realized he was taking the whole thing in the wrong perspective. Israel was no better than, you know, the enemies in many ways, as we will come to read those later. So the commander, the captain Israel, told him, you need to take off your sandals. Why? Why? Well, he said, the place where you stand is holy. What does that mean to us? It means, simply, no one can stand before a holy God without a proper mediator, without a proper access. So that's why Joshua has to fall down. And in the many parts of the Bible, in fact, if you read the Old Testament and New Testament, there are people who fell down when God's holiness is fully revealed to them. And I'm not going to emphasize that here because we have the battle to come to. But the key we frequently missed in the Old Testament and New Testament is the holiness of God. And that's very crucial to the success or to the victory of Christian life. Let's go to the battle. So the battle plan to take over Jericho. The reason that portion of the Bible is important is because it's immediately connected that Joshua's plan to attack the Jericho was not his plan, was God's plan. Let me read this. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the mighty men of valor. And you should march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Then shall you do for 6 days. Thus shall you do for 6 days. Seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of rams horns before the ark. On the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, then you'll hear the sound of the trumpet. Then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, and everyone straight before him. You know, the Bible is very interesting. When you read this, this is almost like the whole battle is already here. Right, we could just finish and move on to chapter 7. There are, however, 21 more verses after this. So what's the point of all that 21 verses? But let's come to this one. This describes the whole story in a few sentences. First, God's plan of attack. There's one quick passage mentioned. Jericho was shut up inside and outside. This is important as a story, but what's the whole plan? What's the plan? Well, first of all, God said, I have given Jericho to you. So listen carefully. Remember, there are a lot of songs, children's songs about the Battle of Jericho. I remember when Joshua was born, we had this 101 Bible songs. And it was that Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. And the walls come tumbling down. Something like that. After people shout. This is the children's song captured the essence of it, but the children's song also missed some pieces of it. You see, the Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. You know, when I prepared this, sermon, I read quite a few other people's titles. One of them was Jehovah fought the battle of Jericho. Which is exactly what's here. Because, you see, it was the battle plan of Joshua. Joshua communicated to the Israel people. But the plan come from what? God himself. So I think that's very appropriate. And there's also a pastor said, Joshua did not fight the battle of Jericho. Okay, let's go down a little bit. But the key here is this. It really has, from the beginning to the end, God's plan. And what does this tell us is, if you look at this, it's very, very interesting. Because where's the fight? It's like when you look at a superhero movie, go to Superman, right? If you don't see a Superman strength that beats the hell out of all the other, you know, superheroes, you know, all the other superheroes could not solve this problem. When Superman came, he just beat the, you know, the enemies down like that. If you don't see that scene, you miss the movie, right? You say, what's this movie about with Superman when he's not using his power? But if you look at this, it's just weird. What's weird is this. Where's the power? Where's the demonstration? Well, let's look at it, because this is the point of the story. It says, first of all, you need to march around the city and blow the trumpet. Who? Well, you read it. Many people are familiar with it. First of all, the trumpet, the march around the city is a group of people. There are seven priests, right? And there is what? There's also guards in the front and in the back. What's the center of the marching band? What's the center of the marching band? What's in the center? The ark. What does the ark look like? Is it a bow? Is it an arrow? No, it's not. It's a container. It's also what? It's also a seat of the mighty, the mobile throne of God himself, symbolized the throne of God. And so what God is telling Joshua and the whole Israel people, and with people who will die in Jericho, okay, those who are going to be killed by the Israel people, the attention has always been God himself, the throne of God. And what's contained in the ark? Well, by this time, there should be at least 10 commandments and Moses, what? Stick. No. What's it called? Staff, yeah. So at that moment, you see that's the attention. The attention has always been God himself. The attention is that God is actually claiming the city to himself. And by doing this, he was not using a lot of power. He was using a what? A very minimum people. There are seven priests, seven trumpets, maybe one of them focused on blowing, but everyone has a trumpet. And what? And there are also some guards. And the guards is not many. The key point is to protect in accidentally hitting the, you know, some people, some children or some, you know, animals come around and disrupt the ceremony. But the whole thing is about attention to the ark, claiming the city of Jericho for God's glory. Period. That's it. Then what's the point of all the rest of the verses? Well, let's keep going. The Bible is very interesting. The Bible, when you read it, is literal mechanism. You need to understand, it keeps repeating things in a different way, in a way that helps us understand God's truth. First of all, I'm going to read this quickly, okay? So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord. And then Joshua commanded people, the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing trumpets with the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpet, and the rear guard was walking after the ark, while the trumpets blew continually. Notice I skip right here to 11. So he caused the Ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once. And they came to the camp and spent the night in the camp. And then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord, and the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually, and the armed men were walking before him, and the rear guard was walking before after the Ark of the Lord. And the rear guard is only one. Something new. While the trumpets blew continuously, and the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did for 6 days. On the seventh day, they rose early, at the dawn of the day and march around the city in the same manner seven times. It was only on that day that they march around the city seven times. Whoa. Why so much repetition? Well, first of all, repetition is very important to highlight the main point of the story. You'll notice the instruction of the Lord was carefully followed. He said Joshua did this. He said the leaders did this. He also said what? The people did this. They carefully followed the Lord's order. Why is that important? Well, the parade of Jericho is called about for faithful execution. You see, this is more important to God than the power demonstrated by Israel armies. In fact, they don't have an army. Okay, some people say this is just practical. Why? Because they don't have an army. They were just fresh out of the desert. They had not known war as they grew up. They know a little bit. I know they fought some battles. But they're not like as well trained as a city people, as Jericho. They said the walls of Jericho was almost impenetrable because you can even run horses on top of the city walls. What they only had was a very few armed men, a few guard, not too many weapons, and the ark, God among them. So if you look at that, the parade emphasized two things. First of all, you need to have proper respect and guard against people accidentally, you know, disrupt the parade. So you have the armed men. The armed men is for protection of the ceremony and the parade. And second of all, you mentioned seven. You see the word seven. You see the word 6 days and the last day, seventh day, seven times. What does that mean? Well, it actually means that the whole thing, especially the day of destruction, the day of the seventh day, is to claim this day as holy, this day as a resting day, and this day is also a day of victory. Why is that important? Because that's the day of the Lord. And the rear guard, again, it tells us needs to be protected. Okay, so God protect his ark, and his ark is showcasing and parading. Now, why the repetition? Well, let me keep it simple. The repetition is to show that God wants us to remember why he repeated, which is the point of the story. And to Joshua, it's important for the leader, Joshua as a representative, to be faithful to the details of execution. And to the people, they need to understand they should only follow leaders who are faithful to God's command. There are many churches these days. There are many churches who, in the name of Jesus, said and are preaching from the Bible, but they are standing apart. They are actually trashing the Bible in a way that they take out pieces that serve their agenda. So we have to be careful. And then when we look at what was repeated, well, what's repeated is this, that in all this parade, God is to be the sender. God has to be preached. God has to be shown to what? To not the Israel people only, but also to his enemy. So the church established on this earth is to show not, is not just to build up the Christians, but also to preach God's holiness and God's salvation to all non-believers. And what was repeated to Joshua is Joshua has to continually to show that he is faithful in order to serve God as his leader, as a leader in the church. If Joshua is not faithful, he's not worth following, and the people could be led astray, and people should change, switch church, do not follow him. And for the people, they need to understand, God actually have an action plan. It's not like God left you to your device of how to conquer enemies, how to win victoriously in Christian life without telling you explicitly through the Bible, the careful teachings. People need to read God's word. Why the ark? You will ask, why the ark? First of all, the ark shows that God is among the people. But second of all, under the ark is what? It's commandments. Our God is a God of speaking God, of the laws, of the teachings. So what's the point? The point is God gets the glory, and his people should be careful to follow God's command as revealed in his Bible, as revealed in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And what I didn't notice, I skipped some verses. And what did I skip? Well, I want to emphasize the skip part. Because in the Old Testament, especially in this chapter, this happened twice. First at here, and in the next section, there's always a section that seems not important. Because if you take it out, the whole story still goes. Okay? What skipped is this? Is at the execution and repetition of the parade to claim Jericho for himself is verse 10. Joshua commanded people, listen, Joshua said what? You shall not shout. Or make your voice heard. Neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout. Why? Today we have first song, Shout to the Lord. That's one of my favorite modern hymns. And I really, because not just the music, but also the wording is very, very good. But here is very important. I think I was reading this. Why Joshua commanded people not shout? You only shouted at the end. You do not shout in the whole procession. This is very challenging. You know why? Because listen to this. You have the people see this thing, this ark march around what? Once every day for 6 days, and they cannot shout in that whole ceremony. I don't know how big, the city is a big city. They are not riding horses. To see this whole thing marching around, and only the horns blow, trumpet blow, right? They have to remain quiet. Quiet, no sound. It's very effective, very important. If you go to a classical concert, right? Do you hear people shouting in the reception area? You have no class, right? You're just like, you have never appreciated music or quietness. Be still. And the only thing they hear is the trumpet. A good music will not keep the high tunes like a heavy rock. Even heavy rock, they have breaks. But I'm just saying, if you want to understand the whole thing, you need to see that God, this is the center that's supposed to, if you don't have it, it's okay. The story doesn't miss any point. But why in the middle? It's a sandwich. What do you appreciate a sandwich when you order a sandwich? Well, yes, today they ask you Dutch crunch or, rye or whatever. But the main thing is always rye. It didn't say rye or Dutch crunch in the menu, right? They see the center of it, right? The meat portion, right? Is it the chicken, What I'm trying to say is that the center is important. Old Testament are written that way. The center, you think it's not important, is one of the most important to help you understand the whole story. This, the center, be quiet. Be quiet until God tells you so. The order in God's battle against sin, against, to win people, you have to follow God's order. I need to hurry. Joshua's warning. Why? Well, God, people, the key thing here is God to be honored, and people need to see God. To see God in his action, and whenever they watch this parade, they always remember what? This is God's plan. And this is God's ark. And this is God's command. And this is God's leader. That's the only way you can see this whole thing in the reasonable way. God is to be honored in worship. He is to be honored in church. God is to be praised by the leaders, and leaders need to be faithful. Leaders should not put their personal agenda before anything. They should always faithfully preaching from the word of God. And the congregation need to trust and obey only to the extent when the leaders are faithful. If they're not, you should point it out. You should, talk to your leaders. Next, the demand on the people of Israel. And the seventh time, when the priest had blown the trumpet, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. So the people shouted, and trumpet was blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat So that the people went up to the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. This is so much repetition. And then they devoted all the city to the destruction, both men and the women, young and old, ox, sheep, and donkeys with the edges of the sword. So I want to address a few important things, the execution of the battle plan. Repeating again, and the priests and people are following God's command. If you look at the whole chapter, you will see one thing. God appeared, God spoke explicitly four times, quoted. Joshua spoke 9 verses, and the action are 12 verses, and the people are only out of their own 3. So if you look at the whole the percentage, even the action themselves were following God's command. You see, the whole thing is about God's plan. And the next is that among all this, where is the good news? I want to hurry to the good news. The good news is that the part we skipped, right? Before verse 17 and after verse 19, if you connect that, that's the conquering of the Jericho. Where's the good news? The good news is that when the city fell, only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourself from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold, every vessel of the bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. In this, we have again a proper combination, see, of good news and a warning. This is part of Joshua's speech. Again, I said, this is cut out because if you cut this out, the whole story still goes. The people conquered Jericho, you know, and this is the walls fell down. But what's the point of this thing that's supposedly not needed? Many important reasons. I call it God's salvation in judgment. God's salvation in judgment. What's the battle about? The battle is about claiming justice to the city of Jericho. The city of Jericho is devoted for destruction. You see, the whole Old Testament, when we look at the history of Old Testament, of these stories, they are a parable for the New Testament Christians. The city of Jericho signified this world who do not belong to God, who betrays God, who do not honor God. It's a city devoted for destruction. And among the destruction, among the judgment, is also a salvation of a family who trusts the Lord. The good news is that Rahab was saved, and whoever trusts her to trust the Lord of Israel, Jehovah, were also saved and adopted into the Israel family. And all the silver and gold, what's the importance of the silver and gold? Well, the importance is that all physical creation are good only to the way they are used by people. Okay, if you use gold and silver to honor God, to serve others, that's good. But if you do not, it deserves destruction. So the congregation here, do not touch, is a very important warning. Let me go through this. Verse 22 to 27, I'm not going to read it, but the key here is the execution. The execution is at the prostitute's house. You know, I don't know whether what you feel, but how come the good news has to tell us that she's a prostitute? I leave you that as a good discussion question after the sermon, okay? But the key is this: the prostitute house and all her who belong to her were saved and adopted to the house of Israel. And the city were burned down with fire, everything in it. Only the silver and gold is in the treasury of the Lord. But the Rahab, the prostitute, again the prostitute, and her father's household, and all her who belong to her, Joshua saved alive. Isn't it God who saved him? Save her? Well, Joshua saved her. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy on Jericho. And Joshua claimed a curse. I'm not going to talk about the curse today. Well, come back to here. What's the good news? The good news we just said, justice served. When we talk to when we were talking to the about conquering Jericho, it's not a city that's new to God. It's a city that God intended to showcase that this city deserves destruction. Because in Genesis 15 and 16, God told Abraham that the reason you cannot claim the promised land, why they have to come back in the fourth generation, is because the iniquity, they're not evil enough, of the Amorites is not yet complete. The whole Canaanite is kingdom people are not evil enough for you to destroy them. And then, similarly, equally heavyweight is in Leviticus 18. God told Israel people, you guys are not so holy either. Okay? This is, given the time, I think I want to emphasize justice served. But served with a warning to the Israel people that the only reason Israel people conquer Jericho is not because they are holy, is because God is among them. And God intends to make Jericho an example that is, if Israel people one day fell, one day become so corrupt, like the people of Jericho, they're going to be driven out of the land, of the promised land also. So good news is that God's salvation among judgment. Second part of good news is that salvation accomplished. And that's the good news we should always cherish, because for those who are baptized last Sunday, and for those who have been baptized and taking the Lord's Supper at the church, is that salvation is accomplished. And the key I want to emphasize, I can give you the answer to that question, why the prostitute? Because prostitute is the signal of idol worship. Everyone who has come to the Lord has to remember he was once an idol worshiper. Even those who have become a Christian sometimes continuously to have idols in our hearts. So prostitution is not so much just a selling of a body, but it's also important to remind us we all trade other things like the gifts of God more important than God himself. So good news is that we are all saved like Rachel. So what's the good news according to Jericho? First of all, Jehovah was the commander of the battle. So in this life, in the Christian life, we need to remember that God led that conquering. And God gave the detailed plan, attack plan. You say, you know, today Christians are not having Jericho to conquer. What do we have to conquer? Well, we have what? We have to conquer the flesh, what? The pride, the Satan, and all the sins Christians will encounter and preach the good news. So Joshua and the leaders were faithful. Israel as a people obeyed. And I put an asterisk. Because you see that even in among the people of Israel, in the next chapter, something drastically would happen. Okay? Not everyone who listened will receive or take in what they listened to. So I say Joshua did not fight the battle of Jericho. Yes, he did, actually. I would say he both did not and did. Why? Because he participated. He was faithful to execution, but he did not. It's not a victory of him, but it's a victory of God himself. So I said Jehovah fought the battle of Jericho. And lastly, the good news of God. I want to bring even closer to us. God saved Rahab and God destroyed. Jesus saved whoever trusted him in the baptism, in those who are born of the Spirit. But remember, Jesus also killed death and sin in his death on the cross. So this is similar. The good news of God is always God's salvation through judgment. If you do not preach the judgment of God, you have no good news to share to people. They can enjoy this life as they are. The only way people can know the good news is truly good news is that this life is not all there is. You will be facing an eternal judgment. And that's the only reason why we preach Jesus Christ, even to those who do not want to receive Jesus Christ, even to those who have never heard of his name, because they will face the righteous judgment of God at the end of life. So what's the importance for Christian life? The Christian life is as Joshua conquered the land of Canaan, we need to learn to conquer death and sin. So we need to continue to mortify the sin, the old English, which is to kill death and kill sin in our lives, to deal with it, to confront it, and to let Holy Spirit help us. Jehovah is the commander, Jesus is our Lord, and not in human wisdom. You see, the whole demonstration, as I showed the number of verses, is in not in human wisdom. The plain, clear preaching of the good news is what God has shown to be most effective. And the cross is stupidity to the world, but it's wisdom in God's eyes. So as we wrap up, I want to mention is, remember, the Battle of Jericho is a parable, but it really happened in history. It's also a parable for Christian life, to conquer sin, conquer death through the power of Jesus' death on the cross. And I may take that as this is a life we have as a Christian life. We want to be faithful hearers. We want to battle against sin and temptations. We want to share the good news because that's our calling, and we want to follow in the battle to glorify God. May that become your remembering that this is the good news of the Battle of Jericho. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us this precious battle of the Jericho as it's revealed in the Bible. We pray that you help us to remember that you are to be glorified in the conquering of human hearts, in the sharing of the good news, in the salvation through judgment, that your name and your character and attribute, your holiness is fully proclaimed to those who seek after you, so that the chosen ones may come and worship you. We pray that your church will grow more mature as this battle against the sin and temptation to win people for the name of Christ. We pray that your Spirit also help each of the Christian here to be faithful, to honor God, and to enjoy God forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.